Thank you. This is joint work with Grant Wallace, Mark Huang, and Winder Xu. And the previous panel ended by saying that that storage is not very exciting, but I hope to convince you that backup storage is really the sexy part of storage. All right, so the motivation for our work is that we focus on backup storage, and anything we can do to compress the data, to shrink its size, is a win for our customer because it helps decrease their storage costs while allowing them to store more data. It also decreases data center space, decreases power requirements, decreases management overheads, which can be quite large. And our particular approach in this paper is to combine deduplication and delta compression. And just as a brief reminder, deduplication is a technique for removing identical data regions from a data set. And delta compression is a technique for finding similar data regions and only storing the changed bytes. Now, a key problem in delta compression is how to find similar data chunks. There have been many papers about finding identical data regions. I'm not going to review that literature, but briefly to discuss similarity indexing, some early work focused on version information. If you know previous versions of a file, you can delta compress relative to those versions. But that information may not be available. Another technique is to keep a similarity index in memory. And obvious problems if when your storage becomes quite large, you can't keep the index in memory. So the next technique is to move your similarity index to disk. And the problems, of course, they are related to all the random IOs necessary to query the index. So earlier this year, we presented a paper at FAST where we addressed these issues by presenting stream-informed locality to remove the indexing bottleneck. Now, the focus of that work was on WAN replication. So there's relatively low throughput requirements for that work. And also, that work, importantly, did not store delta compressed data. Delta compression only existed across the network. So unlike our earlier work, this work focuses on storage. We're actually going to store the delta compressed chunks, which introduces new complexities in terms of throughput, as well as data integrity and garbage collection, cleaning the system. So several important contributions of this work. First, we built the first deduplicated and delta compressed storage system using stream-informed locality. We built an experimental prototype that I'll present the results from in this talk. Using our prototype, we're able to quantify throughput and suggest areas for future improvement in future work. We're able to explore new complexities related to data integrity of the system and how to clean a delta compressed storage system. And we report how total compression, deduplication, and delta compression together varies as we change our chunk size. Interesting results. So just a reminder how stream-informed deduplication works. That's the core technology that enables this. So a backup enters our storage system. This might be a large file. We're going to break it into content-defined chunks. We have chunks 1 through 6 here. And then for each chunk, we're going to represent it with a secure fingerprint, such as a SHA-1. And our storage system is empty in the beginning, so we're actually going to store this to disk. So on the right side, we have a container where we have data chunks in the bottom area. And in the top area, we have the metadata, which consists of the 6 fingerprints in the container. And on the left side, we have a fingerprint index mapping from fingerprint to container. All right, so a week later, we get another backup, perhaps. And again, we're going to break it into chunks. And this time, there's been some small modifications relative to the previous week in chunk 4, marked in red. And we're going to calculate a fingerprint for every chunk. And you can see that the fingerprint for chunk 4 is different because the data has changed. And so for deduplication, we start off by looking for fingerprint 1, and we'll check our index. That maps to container 1, and we're going to load the metadata, the fingerprints, into a fingerprint cache in memory. So now we can perform efficient deduplication on a large number of fingerprints that are all in memory in our cache. And in this case, we have fingerprint cache hits for all of the fingerprints except for number 4, because that chunk modified. And so we can have great deduplication savings, in this case, 5 out of the 6 deduplicated. But perhaps this chunk 4 is only slightly modified. Maybe it's only a few bytes that have changed. It'd be good if we can get some more compression. So in our technique, we're going to add delta compression to this basic framework. So again, a backup enters the system, break it into chunks. And this time, we're going to calculate both fingerprints for deduplication and sketches for delta compression. I'll explain sketches a bit more on the next slide. But basically, it's a resemblance hash used to index into a similarity index. And so we're going to modify our on-disk structure slightly. In our containers, container 1, again, we're storing chunks. in the data section, but the metadata section now holds fingerprints as well as the sketches we're going to use for similarity detection. So a week later, we see a second backup, and again, chunk 4 was modified slightly. We calculate fingerprints and sketches. And you'll notice that fingerprint 4 is different because the chunk is different, but sketch 4 is the same as previously because the chunk is only slightly modified. So again, we're going to start with deduplication. We look at our on-disk index, and we're going to read the metadata section from container 1 into an in-memory cache that now holds fingerprints as well as sketches. So we can perform deduplication, and for 5 of the chunks, we find duplicate fingerprints. And for chunk 4, we have a sketch hit in our cache. So this indicates that we can delta compress current chunk 4 relative to the earlier version of chunk 4. And then store the delta encoded version, which is going to be much smaller. So let's go through an example, a little bit more about the fingerprints and sketches. So we have a chunk. This is a single chunk in our system. By default, it's an average size of 8 kilobytes, but that's controllable. And we're going to calculate a fingerprint. This could be a SHA-1, shown in red here. Now, to calculate a sketch, our technique is to calculate rolling fingerprints across the chunk. And we're going to preserve maximal values. In this case, I'm showing 4 maximal values that are preserved at particular positions across the chunk. And then to calculate a sketch, we first take a Rabin fingerprint over the concatenation of 4 features, the 4 maximal values. We call this a superfeature. And then our sketch could be 1 or more superfeatures. So although I've shown 4 maximal values, you could imagine keeping more maximal values and calculating multiple superfeatures with this technique. So now a chunk has both a fingerprint and a sketch. And in this case, it's new and we need to store it. And then later we get another chunk. And in this case, it's a duplicate of the earlier version. The fingerprint is a match. So we don't need to store the chunk, maybe just some metadata to reconstruct the file later. Now, we get another chunk, which is very similar to the earlier version, but we have some modified bytes shown in red. And in this case, the fingerprint is different, marked in blue, so it's not a fingerprint match. We're going to try to calculate a sketch. So we calculate our 4 maximal values. And because the chunk is only slightly modified, the 4 maximal values are exactly the same. And so our sketch is going to be an exact match to the earlier version. And so we can find this similar previous chunk that we call the base chunk, and then delta encode our current chunk by calculating the difference, the changed bytes relative to the previous version. So then we only need to store the changed bytes as well as a reference to the earlier version. That's the fingerprint marked in red for reconstruction purposes later. So that's how we get our space savings. So in these experiments presented in this work, there are 4 data sets, and just to briefly summarize them, they vary in size from 2 terabytes up to 5 terabytes. And they were collected over multiple months of actual backups. So let's get right into some compression results. And I use the word compression very generically to mean all forms of data reduction. So let's start with deduplication. So it varies from 5 to 25. And what the 5 means is we're going to store 1/5 of the original data set size. So pretty good savings. 1/25, even better, quite a bit of savings for just deduplication on these data sets. Next, let's look at delta compression. So it varies from 2.5 to over 4. So again, only storing 1/4 of all of the bytes after deduplication. These are compression factors at each stage in our pipeline of compression. And then we apply LZ compression to all bytes after delta compression. And that varies from 1.5 up to 2.5. So these are compression factors that can be multiplied together to get the total compression for these data sets, which varies from 25 to 150 fold on these data sets. So we're seeing that delta compression adds significant additional compression to the storage system. Now, a subtle point that we discussed in our earlier work is that delta compression and LZ type compressors have some overlap in where they find redundant data regions. So we reran this experiment with delta turned off for a fair comparison. We found that the true delta improvement over a baseline of just deduplication and LZ is between 1.5 and 3.5. So sizable delta improvement over the previous technique. But adding delta compressed chunks adds new complexities in the system, and I'll start by talking about throughput changes. So there's extra computation and I/O related to delta compression. So we need to compute a sketch to represent the chunk, so this is some hashing over the chunk, extra computation there. In order to actually delta compress, we need to read in the base chunk, so there's extra I/O, which could be random I/O in our storage system. And then there's extra compression again to calculate the difference. So now we get the modified bytes. Then those get stored, hopefully in an efficient manner. So we get the extra delta compression, but there was a cost. So using our experimental prototype, we compared our throughput of our system to a baseline of simply a deduplicated storage system. So we could turn off or turn on Delta in our experimental prototype. So we evaluated two different phases of throughput. The first full backup, this is when the system is empty and data is first entering the system. We found that the throughput was 74% of the baseline deduplicated storage system. So where did that 26% go? Some of it went to sketching. We actually did get some delta compression even during the first full backup, and so that's why we have some decrease in throughput. After the first full, which is the kind of steady state case, as we have more writes to our storage system, we found that throughput dropped to 53%. So we dropped in half relative to the baseline deduplicated storage system. And most of the data is getting removed from deduplication, but for the remaining data, it's being sketched, requires random IOs to read in the chunks for delta compression, and that's why our performance has dropped. Now still, we have dramatically increased our compression overall, but there has been a cost, and in future research, we certainly do want to improve these throughput numbers. But so we investigated throughput in a bit more detail to find out where are the bottlenecks in our current delta storage system. So in this experiment, we had a single stream experiment, and we measured throughput for every individual stage of delta compression to find out what's happening along the way. And for the actual storage medium, you could use hard drives, you could use flash, so we present those two different read and storage alternatives in this table. So I'll point out a couple interesting tidbits from the results. So lookup, this is, we have a sketch, we need to look in our in-memory cache to find a potential sketch match. And the throughput varied from 30 megabytes per second to over 1,500 megabytes per second. So a very dramatic change, a 50x difference. We investigated this more, and for the bottom two data sets, there are actually huge numbers of identical sketches in our in-memory cache. And we actually had hash chains that were quite long, and processing that hash chain led to this overhead. So there are simple solutions to this. Don't allow identical sketches in your in-memory cache, or once you find a good sketch, stop early. There's various solutions that could be applied to this. But the clear bottleneck in our Delta Compress storage system is reading. You know, reading from disk, in this case, could be as low as 1 megabyte per second. It was discussed earlier today that with random IOs, in this case roughly 8 kilobytes, you could get throughputs this low. Now, for the workstations data set, we were getting higher throughputs, 5 megabytes per second. And this is because better data locality, our reads actually brought in multiple chunks that were useful to us for delta compression. Now, for comparison, we looked at flash storage. And I want to emphasize that we didn't actually implement this solution. This is more of an analysis result. We looked at reported SSD numbers and applied the same caching characteristics as from hard drives. So you can take these numbers with a grain of salt, but just for comparative purposes, throughput certainly increases, and the bottleneck might move to other phases of our storage system. Now, these numbers overall may seem somewhat low, but I want to emphasize that it's not quite as bad as it seems. We have deduplication first, which applies a multiplier on all of our throughput numbers. These were single stream numbers, and so you can certainly apply multi-threading, asynchronous reads across large RAID systems to get better aggregate throughput. And a subtle point actually is that after deduplication, we perform the sketch lookup in our cache, and not every chunk has a match, so for only 2/3 of our chunks do we need to apply the reading and the encoding stages as well. So adding delta compressed chunks to the storage system adds new complexities as well. So the first complexity to discuss is how it affects read time and read paths. So let's go through an example. We have the chunk with the value cat, which gets stored to our system. And then a little later we get a chunk with catch. We're going to store this as well as a delta relative to cat. And then sometime later, we're going to see catch again. And there have been some papers out there that have, exploring deduplication, have made a trade-off between throughput and writing a small number of duplicates. They give up a little bit of deduplication to get better throughput. And there are some dangers related to that. This example will show. So although you could have deduplicated catch, suppose you missed it, and you wrote that as a duplicate to the storage system. And then a moment later, perhaps something similar happens with cat. And this time, it could be encoded as a delta of catch. That is a valid storing of all these chunks, if you allow duplicates in the system. So now to read back cat, you could find the plain version, which would certainly be the fastest read, but just depending on how you've organized data, you might find the delta encoded version, which requires, for reconstructive purposes, that you read back catch. Now, there are two options. You could read the plain version of catch, or you could read the delta encoded version of catch, and which in turn requires a read for cat. So now to reconstruct catch, you have to do one or two, or, you know, three disk IOs here, depending on how unlucky you might have been. So you're getting unpredictable readback performance. Another issue to consider is how many levels of delta encoding do you allow? So let's add another chunk to our system, catcher in this case. And so the most efficient way to store this is actually as a second level delta. It's a delta of catch, which is in turn a delta of cat. This is the greatest space savings. But you can see that catcher is now a two level delta. To re-encode it, to read it back, you'd have to perform three disk reads. And even on the write path, in order to actually delta encode it, you have to find catch and then decode catch, so there's multiple disk reads on the write path as well. So basically, you've turned your write performance into your random read performance. And so in our experimental prototype, we only allowed one level of delta, and we did not allow further levels. So let's go through some other indirection complexities. So we're focused on backup storage, and the integrity of user data is of highest importance to us. So we need to have end-to-end validity checks. And so what that means is we want to periodically check that files can be reconstructed and that all data is truly there, and delta adds new levels of interaction because we might go read a chunk and it's delta encoded and we have to go find the base as well. So just to, as an example, suppose we want to verify catcher, and in this case it's delta encoded relative to catch, and so it's not enough to read catcher, although the bytes themselves may be valid and with some checksums. We need to fully reconstruct catcher to fully ensure it's there, so we have to go read somewhere remotely on disk catch as well. Another issue to consider is how do you clean a delta encode system? I'm going to go through that in a bit more detail, but start with a simple example where we've removed some redundant chunks. So we have three chunks, cat, catch, and catcher, and all three of them now exist after garbage collection, but this was an invalid, incorrect garbage collection. So as an example, to read back catcher, catcher is delta encoded relative to catch, which is in turn delta encoded relative to cat, which in this case is delta encoded relative to catch. And we have a loop, and we have data loss in our storage system. So this is a case to be very careful about. So just to very briefly talk about how you could implement garbage collection, you could use reference counts, but there are obvious concerns in terms of where do you keep all of these counts? They're not going to fit in memory. So we implemented a mark and sweep algorithm where we mark the live chunks and then copy them forward. And there's a new difficulty related to our stream-informed delta compression. As you move data around on disk, you're adjusting the locality, which is going to affect how much delta compression we achieve. So in this example, we're going to copy forward the live chunks, apple, banana, and zebra, and we've combined chunks from two different containers into a third container and changed our locality on disk. So we evaluated this experimentally. For these three data sets, we wrote data into our storage system with a four-week retention policy, and with every week of writes, we recorded how much delta compression we achieved. We marked data older than 4 weeks as to be deleted, ran our garbage collection algorithm, and continued. And then we could compare that to a baseline where we didn't run garbage collection. And we found that for the write two data sets, email and source code, there was actually no decrease in delta compression. We achieved 100% of the baseline no garbage collection case. But for workstations, we only achieved 80% with a variability week to week marked in red. We still consider this to be acceptable amounts of delta compression, though it does should be studied more thoroughly. And with one more experiment, we looked at what happens with overall compression as we vary the chunk size. Previous experiments were with 8K average size chunks. In this case, we're going to vary from 1 kilobyte on the left up to 1 megabyte on the right. And the deduplication factor is marked in red. So higher compression factors indicate better compression, better overall savings. And get the obvious result that with small chunks, you find lots of duplicates. As chunks get bigger, you find fewer duplicates. So now let's add delta compression. And basically what's happening is that what deduplication fails to find in terms of compression, delta makes up for. Delta grows as the chunk size grows because deduplication is missing data that could be found, redundancy that could be found. So now let's add LZ compression, the green line marked across the bottom. It's fairly flat around 2. And then the multiplication of these three compression factors is shown in the purple, which is fairly high increased compression. And then we reran the experiment with delta turned off, and that's the black line that starts off fairly high and drops off with chunk size. So there's two interesting findings from this. One, delta adds significant improved compression beyond the baseline of deduplication and LZ compression. And two, delta helps maintain high compression over a fairly broad chunk size, all the way from 2K up to 64K, 128K here. We're getting fairly flat overall total compression, which suggests that in our storage system, we could increase our chunk size up to, say, 64K here with maintaining overall compression. And this would allow us perhaps to improve our throughput because we have larger chunks for read and write purposes, and it might help reduce memory pressures for keeping track of these references in the storage system. And this was shown for the workstations data set, but it's consistent for the other data sets, and all the plots are in the paper. And just to summarize and present future work, we implemented a deduplication and delta compression experimental prototype, which adds significant overall compression to the storage system. We studied throughput using our prototype, and throughput is about 50% of the underlying deduplicated storage system. And we present various areas for further research, looking at the bottlenecks and alternatives for the storage media. There are new complexities introduced by delta compression related to how do you implement garbage collection, how do you ensure that the data is truly there, especially efficiently. We implemented the simplest version of verification. We actually do the slow reads, but perhaps there are faster techniques. And we show that you could increase your average chunk size rather sizably while maintaining overall total compression. I'm happy to answer any questions. Yes, it's all bytes, after deduplication went into the delta compression module. Whatever bytes came out, you know, logical over physical, that was the compression factor.
So this seems like great work. My question is, could you get rid of dedupe and just do delta compression? It seems like dedupe is in some sense a kind of a degenerate version of delta compression. Is that?
This plot suggested that delta was finding the compression that deduplication missed, right? So it suggests that maybe you could turn off deduplication and do as well, perhaps. But I think there are lots of other issues in terms of throughput, right? Deduplication is faster, okay, right, to perform than delta compression. And so I wouldn't want to give up that throughput, you know, multiplier of deduplication.
Relative to the title of this session, which is archival storage, one property one wants in archival storage is robustness against decay. And of course, taking out redundancy reduces robustness a bit. But it gives you an opportunity for putting the kinds of redundancy you take out is really not very profitable redundancy. Have you used it to make space for some profitable redundancy that will improve the survival of the archival storage?
It's an interesting question. So I think there are various answers to that. One, if we can decrease our storage requirements, it would allow us to make more backups, for example, within a given amount of space. So you could have more versions, so you could roll back to more versions in time, or keep more months of data, you know, longer within one box. So perhaps that's valuable, that you only need to store the extra changes, so you can go back, you know, a year perhaps instead of only a month previously. Also, one way of improving resiliency is to have a replica off-site to protect against disasters, site disasters, fires, or whatnot. And the combination of deduplication, delta compression, local compression allows you to transfer a smaller amount of data across the network to the remote site, and so you have this extra level of protection that would have been more difficult if you had the full data set to transfer.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Wood College. You mentioned the effect on read locality and the general scrambling. Did you do any measurements of exactly how much that affects performance? Is it big or little? So
we don't have numbers to report about that right now. It's certainly something we need to look at. I would guess that it has some impact because of the the random nature of these remote references, but I don't have numbers to report about that right now.
Brian Ford, Yale. Did you, just out of curiosity, it looks like you only do delta compression when you get an exact hit on the similarity fingerprint. Did you look at the cost benefit for a, you know, similarity match, you know, deduplicating kind of the closest similarity match, yeah, when there isn't an exact hit?
Right. So we don't have results of that in the paper. Certainly before we got to the stage, we looked at various ways of calculating sketches. For efficiency reasons, it's handy to have a hash table, right? You can look up and find an exact match. And so when you start talking about, well, it's a close match, right? Like most of the bits match, that's a different indexing structure and has certain overheads as well. There are some parameters in the sketch. We talked about having four maximal values in the sketch. And so that's a tighter match than if you only had three maximal values in the sketch or as low as one, right? And we did experiments internally varying that knob before we got to this point. And I think the results are kind of what you would expect. If you turn up the number of maximal values, you get better matches when you find something, but the number of matches starts to decrease. When you turn down the number of maximal values, you get looser matches, not as much delta compression when you get a match, but you're more likely to find a matches. And so you could try to optimize that.
Sure, thanks.